Luke chapter 4, starting at verse number 14. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll on the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Get up, get filled, get involved. These are the prompts that we have considered for the past month as we consider the theme of illumination. In this season, we are desirous of God to show us the way, to show us his light, to light our way. We want him to give us his light so that we will reflect his light as we fight back the progression in this world toward darkness. There is a lot for us to consider as we endeavor to partner with God in what he is doing in this world. We have announced that it is our desire to enjoy God in his mission to transform this world by connecting people to God, by connecting people to people, and connecting people to purpose. It's important for us to acknowledge that this is a Holy Spirit-driven movement. This is a movement initiated by the grace and love of God. This is a movement that calls for us to be awakened or to get up. This is a movement that calls us to be baptized and to be initiated or to get filled. And this is a movement that calls for us to be evaluated and dispatched, getting involved. In this final sermon of this series, I want us to get moving. I want us to get moving by considering one of the most dramatic moments in the ministry of Jesus. You see, following a period where Jesus was in the wilderness, in the desert, and he was tempted by the devil, and he fought with the devil, and he prevailed over the devil. Jesus returned to his hometown emboldened. The text says that he returned to his hometown in the power of the Spirit. And as an observant Jew, Jesus attends the local synagogue. The public reading of Scripture was a staple in the life of the Jews and their religion. And Jesus is given the scroll to read, and he opened it to the prophet Isaiah, or he opened to the spot or rolled it out and pointed out to the spot that read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus doesn't just read the words of the prophet. He offers a brief and striking commentary. In dramatic fashion, Jesus closes the scroll and says, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do y'all know what a mic drop is? You ever see a mic drop or experience a mic drop moment? A mic drop moment is a moment where somebody says something or does something that after they say it, after they do it, there's nothing else to be saved, and they have a mic drop moment. Now, I would demonstrate with our own mics, but they cost way too much money, and not trying to break those. But a mic drop moment is just one of those moments where somebody says that thing, and man, there's just nothing else to be said, and it's like, boom. If there was ever a mic drop moment in Scripture, this was it. Jesus in the synagogue reads this powerful passage from the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news and to give sight to the blind and to set captives free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he says, today, this scripture is being fulfilled. Mic drop, church. The story of Jesus isn't a story of a Lord who sat perched on a throne while all of his subjects did work for him. Jesus was active in his calling and in fulfilling God's mission. This text that I just read from Luke chapter 4 was Jesus' mission statement. This is what he came to do, and he declared it in his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up, where people knew him. Some of the people probably were shocked, like, what is he talking about? That's Joseph's boy. And that's exactly what happens when you read the story after that. They kind of were amazed, and then they were kind of like, isn't that Joseph's boy? Isn't that the carpenter? What is he talking about? But we read the story of Jesus, who didn't just sit back as a Messiah, as a king, and as a Lord, and said, y'all go do stuff. Jesus declared what his mission was, and he went and he did it. Let's not undervalue the text that Jesus read that day in the synagogue. It is packed with clues and directives for the servants of God, for those of us who would come after Jesus, who would say that we are Christians, that we follow Jesus, we are disciples of Jesus. It is packed with several clues and directives for the servants of God. This was a Holy Spirit-directed event, and Jesus was reading from Isaiah 61. Here is Isaiah 61 from the Hebrew text. Isaiah chapter 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. What Jesus read may have sounded a little different, and it was a little different because what Jesus was reading from a scroll that was probably written in Greek. It was a Greek translation of the original Hebrew text. What I just read was a translation of the original Hebrew text. Jesus also adds in that reading, I don't know if he went back and read a piece of Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 6. That's setting the oppressed free. So it sounds a little different, but the message are identical, and despite some translation differences, Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to bring good news to the poor. Now, Jesus knew the bad news about being poor. He lived in a town that was probably poor. He lived in a town that people knew about poverty. There's a reason that when we read scripture, when we read the Gospel of Luke in particular, that the poor people followed Jesus. They were attracted to him because he knew he lived in poverty. He could understand poverty. And so he knew the bad news of being poor. He knew the bad news of being unemployed. He knew the bad news of being underfed. He knew the bad news of having more month at the end of the money. Anyone ever been there? You got way more month at the end of all of your money. He knew about being poor, and God anointed him to bring good news to the poor. There is a temptation for us to over-spiritualize what's going on here. Well, what God really meant was the poor in spirit. I'm saying that the poor in spirit is included, but also the economically poor. There is a ministry that God has anointed Jesus to perform and is primarily amongst those who are poor, economically poor, but also spiritually poor. And so throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see Jesus living with the poor, ministering to the poor, and blessing the poor. But that wasn't it, because he also says that he has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of liberation in the spirit of Moses and the Exodus story. Moses, who led Israel out of Egypt's oppression and liberated them into freedom, into the promised land. The bondage into which so many have entered remains even to this day. It is a pervasive condition. You see, there is still modern day slavery in this world. There is the slavery and being oppressed by bad attitudes. There is an oppression in the form of addiction. There is oppression in the form of sickness and bad health. There is a oppression in the form of evil and sin. There is an oppression in the form of a poor view of themselves. There is an oppression where there are some people who are literally in prison and need to be set free. But that wasn't it. Because Jesus says he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of the captives and oppressed free, but also to give recovery of the sight to the blind. And yes, that's the physically blind, of which we see many miracles of Jesus literally going up to folks and touching them on the eyes and them receiving their sight. But also for many of his disciples that followed, Jesus opened the eyes of those who could not see in a spiritual sense. But that's not all, because the Spirit of the Lord anointed Jesus to preach good news to the poor and to liberate prisoners and to give sight to the blind, but also, this is what just knocks me out, to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Another term that is synonymous with the Lord's favor is jubilee. That Jesus says, this is the year of Jubilee. And if you read anything about Jubilee, Jubilee was a year, the first year after the seventh Sabbath year, so 50 years. And on that year, everybody forgave all debts. All debts were forgiven. You started fresh. Another way of saying Jubilee for us is that this is the year of God's grace and God's mercy, that this is the year of God's love, that this is the year of God's free gift. This is the year of God's forgiveness. I am wiping all debts clear. This is Jubilee, and Jesus' ministry was a ministry of Jubilee where all debts are forgiven. This is the year of grace and mercy, forgiveness of sins, and God's redemption. When you read the remainder of the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus as a Savior on the move, preaching good news to the poor, liberating captives and sinners, opening the eyes of the blind, and proclaiming the year of God's favor and his blessing. So then, if we have been awakened, filled, and have been prompted to get involved, what are we waiting for? It's time to get moving, church. It's time to go. It's time to live into our calling. It's time to come alive in our mission. It's time to get moving and to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee. It's time to get moving and to bless this city. What city? This city, Reynoldsburg. What city? The city you live in, whether that's Columbus or Gahanna or Pickerington or Pataskala or Bexley or Whitehall or Upper Arlington or Connell Winchester or Etna or Westerville. It's time to get moving, church, to declare that this is the year of God's love and God's grace. It's time to get moving, to preach the good news to the poor. It's time to get moving, to offer sight to the blind. The invitation is an open invitation to whosoever will come and say yes to Jesus. The invitation is for men and women, young and old, black and white, Hispanic, Native American. The invitation is for you and for me. So how can we get moving? How can we get moving? We first need to wake up. We need to get up. We need to pray for God's awakening in our spirits, in our bones. We need to get active. There may be a spirit of apathy, or there may be a spirit of disillusionment or detachment. We need to pray that God will enter us, will send his Holy Spirit to get us up and awaken us. What can we do to get moving? We need to get filled and join God in his work. I've offered this invitation. I'll continue to offer this invitation for those of you who have not enjoined God in his work by first saying yes to the love and the grace of God, by saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, all in. I want to give him my all. I want to start off by professing my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. I want to be initiated. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to descend upon me and say, this is my beloved child, this is my beloved daughter, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now it's time to go. Get filled. I need, if we want to get moving, we need to get involved. We need to understand what our giftings are. We need to understand what our talents are. And we don't need to hoard it up in our homes and go home and go to our friends. We need to bring those gifts here and then dispatch from here and share our gifts and talents. What you're going to receive today, if you are interested, we have some wonderful servants that have been working hard over the past couple of weeks putting together our ministries in this church. Here are four pages of all the ministries broken down as best as we can in the different areas that we talked about. Joel talked about when he was talking about deacons. We have body life and operations outreach and some other areas. We have those four major areas. And we have all the ministries broken down. We've got who are the leaders of these ministries, and some have provided needs. We're still collecting this data. This is a living document that will change over time. But guess what? If you want to get involved, there are a ton of ways that you can serve and get involved. There are a ton of ways that you can use the giftings that God has blessed you with, that the Holy Spirit has given in your life. There are ways for you to put those talents and gifts to use for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, so that men and women will get connected to God, connected to other people, and connected to their purpose. There's no reason why we cannot get moving by getting involved. Listen, the final prompt is for us to move. It's for us to go. Jesus told his disciples to go. Did not call the world to come to church. That's great when people come to church. We need to invite people to church and get them to church. But guess what? Our call is to go. It's to get moving. It's active. Jesus didn't stay in that synagogue after he declared his mission statement. He got out the synagogue and got moving. He went all over that Judean region, preaching to the poor, giving sight to the blind, preaching a message of liberation to those who were imprisoned. So what can we do? We need to get moving. It's been far too long that we come together and talk a good game. This has to be the year that we really take serious our mission. This has to be the season that we really take serious that we are going to push back on the darkness that seems to be encroaching in our world. And we're saying, you know what? In the light of God, we're going to let our light shine. Amen. Hiding under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Amen. We need to get moving. So again, how can we get moving? The invitation is yours. Wherever you are at in your life, in your walk with God, maybe it's right now today is just making a stone cold recommitment to walk in line with God. You know what? I've just not been following God. I've just not been obeying God. I've just not been living in harmony with what God wants for my life. today is the day that I'm saying I'm going to walk in line. I'm going to walk in sync with God. Or maybe again, it's today that you initiate that walk with God by saying, I want to be a believer in Jesus Christ. I want to follow him. I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. I want to start. Maybe today is a day that, you know what? I've had this gift and I've been hiding it from everybody. But you know what? From this point forward, I'm going to allow this gift to be used for the glory of God in the body of Christ in this kingdom. Or maybe it's just a simple, I just need that nudge to move and to go. The invitation is for all of us to get involved, to get moving. I want to pray this prayer. May you receive this prayer, an additional prayer of illumination right now. And wherever you're at in your life, I pray that this prayer would touch you, would move you. I pray that this prayer would launch us as a body of Christ into areas that we have never been before. I know that with that comes a little bit of trepidation and fear, but I also know that God did not give us a spirit of fear or trepidation. He gave us a spirit of power and of love. I know that God has given us a Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us that has said yes to Jesus Christ. And we walk in that spirit. We walk boldly in that spirit. And it's time for us to get moving, church. This can be the greatest year on record for our church. This could be the greatest year on record for our lives as individuals and collectively as a community of faith. This could be the greatest year for the city of Reynoldsburg because we're taken seriously. We are taken serious God's call for us to bless the city. I'm reminded of this quick story of a preacher who went to a church in Atlanta to interview for the job. And he said, man, the weekend was going great. Man, he was just knocking it out, man. He sat with the search committee, man, answered all the questions. He just overwhelmed them. They were good. So they say, hey, we're going to go on a field trip. And they went downtown Atlanta, and they were able to go into the tallest building in downtown Atlanta, and they were able to get to the top and look out a window, and they were overlooking the city. And the search committee, while they had the candidate there, said, hey, what's your vision for this city? And the preacher said, he began to blush, and he says, you know what? I haven't really thought about that. I don't know what we're going to do. They hired the guy. It wasn't like a trick question. Like if he didn't answer, they would say, oh, yep, you failed the interview. But what they wanted to impress upon him is that coming to be the minister of this church wasn't just about preaching sermons every Sunday and teaching a class every once in a while. It's about getting us moving to reach this city for Jesus Christ. And it takes a vision. It takes being on mission. It takes being intentional. It takes being purposeful. It takes commitment, church. It takes each and every one of us, not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just one or two. It takes each and every one of us. I believe that God has richly gifted each and every one in this room. And it is my prayer that during 2019, we discover those gifts, we develop those gifts, we deepen those gifts, and we put it in to work. We put it into practice, and we reach this city because we want to connect people to God. We want to connect people to other people, and we want to connect people to their God-given purpose. Let's pray. Holy God, creator of light, transform the dead branches of our apathy into the good fruit of repentance. May hostility give way to openness, oppression to justice, greed to generosity, and despair to hope. Father, show us the way. We desire sight from our blindness. We seek freedom from our oppression. We need your grace and favor. And Lord, we enjoin you as your emissaries to preach the good news to the poor, to bless this city, and to share the hope of life in you. This is our prayer as the body of Christ, and in Jesus' name we pray and we all say together, amen. As we sing this invitation song, a song we've been singing for the past month, I pray that this song is sung with a new meaning, that this is our moment where we say, God, you have me completely, totally. We withhold nothing. We don't withhold our money. We don't withhold our lives. We don't withhold our time. We give you all of us. So let's stand. Let's sing this song. If there's a way that we can minister to you, pray for you, bless you today, you can come as we sing this song.